two parts of chapter 23. So we're going to be reading from verses 1 to 8 and then 26 to 32, and it's on the back of the green outline. So Leviticus chapter 23, starting at verse 1 in the first part. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, 'These are my appointed festivals, the appointed festivals of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work. Wherever you live, it is a Sabbath to the Lord. These are the Lord's appointed festivals, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. On the 15th day of that month, the Lord's festival of unleavened bread begins. For 7 days you must eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. For 7 days, present a food offering to the Lord, and on the seventh day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work." And from verse 26, "The Lord said to Moses, 'The 10th day of this 7th month is the day of atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves, and present a food offering to the Lord. Do not do any work on that day, because it is the day of atonement, when atonement is made for you before the Lord your God. Those who do not deny themselves on that day must be cut off from their people. I will destroy from among their people anyone who does any work on that day. You shall do no work at all. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come wherever you live. It is a day of Sabbath rest for you, and you must deny yourselves. From the evening of the 9th day of the month until the following evening, you are to observe your Sabbath."
The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 11. Got some fairly famous phrases and sentences in here. Verses 1 to 16 and then from 39. "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. By faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he is as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Ooh. How many ads do you reckon you see every day? Turn to somebody near you, give them your number. How many ads do you think you hear or see, advertising ads you see every day? 10 seconds. Okay, time's up. Let's kind of get a feel for where you're at. If you were somewhere between 500 to 1600, put up your hand. No one? That's good, because that was in the 1970s where they did a survey back then. What about anybody in the 5000 bracket? Anybody? I've got a feeling we might have been going earlier than the 70s. Okay, 5000. They did a survey, 1,000 per person every day, on average, right? Ads. Come to 2022. Conservative estimates are that an average person sees 8 to 10,000 ads every day. Anybody up there? No. Okay. We've underestimated what's happening. The internet. Huge explosion of advertising. If you are on social media, you are being inundated with messaging. And so if you just think about that, that's just advertising, let alone as you walk around and you actually interact with real people. That's a lot of voices. Every day, thousands of voices saying, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And not just your kids. Look at me, look at me, look at me. That's why, if you're a follower of Jesus, that's a lot of competing and compelling voices that are calling to you every moment of the day. That's why we need to hear God speak to us from Hebrews today, saying that Jesus is a better focus for our life. Jesus is a better focus for our life than anything else. So let's pray that we hear him speak to us today. Heavenly Father, speak to us, we ask, through your Holy Spirit and by your word today, to transform us to be like your Son, Jesus. Give each of us a willing heart, a willingness to hear Jesus' call to run the race that you've laid out for us as we focus on him. Amen. Okay, so we're going through our series, Jesus is better in every way, so let's walk with him every day. That's what Hebrews keeps reminding us. And today, or last week rather, we saw that Jesus has given us access. You know, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, to actually come into the presence of God by his blood, by his resurrection, and because when we get there, he is our priest to speak for us. But it's not just about now being able to come into his presence. The writer of Hebrews wants us to keep remembering, actually, our real home is in heaven. That is where we are going. That is where we are meant to focus on. We are to run a race. Now, it's not just Christians who talk about life being like a race, is it? Because it kind of works. Races like life have a start and they have a finish. For Christians, we understand that there is a start and there's a finish and there's a course that God has laid out for us and wants to lead us in. It's unknown to us. And that's one of the things we find really hard, isn't it? But that's why life is the faith race. It is the faith race. Because we need to trust in Jesus for the course, that it is right, and that the destination is worth it. So what I want us to do today, these couple of chapters or passages, they are incredible. We're actually just going to focus really, I'm going to focus on a couple of verses at the beginning of 11 and a couple of verses at the beginning of 12. So firstly, the faith race. What is this faith? Look at with me at chapter 11, verse 1. And we see there that now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. Faith is essential, so we need to know what it is. And this verse, to be honest, for a long time this verse kind of sounded like it was saying this is a mixture of blind faith and some Chinese proverb. And I was just like, what is going on here? And I really get a bit angry when people say, dismiss Christianity because you've just got blind faith. And I'm going, our faith is anything but blind. And actually, if we slow down, and look just quickly at verse 1, we will see that that's exactly what it's saying. That it's not blind faith. That we have a confidence because we know our hope is certain. This is not a fairy tale. The hope is certain. We can have confidence because it's based in Jesus Christ. Jesus who lived, who died on the cross in our place, and who rose from the dead, conquering death. No fairy tale, but real hope. And that's why we can have confidence. And that's what our faith is in. But we can also have an assurance. Assurance in even though we can't see, in a sense, with our physical eyes. We can't touch now what is to come. But faith actually recognizes that there is an ability to see. To really see with the eyes of our heart or see with our soul. Jesus. As we open up God's word in the accounts of his life, we don't just read a story. We know that that is us meeting Jesus. And that's what faith is. Faith is living as if God's promises are already present. Faith is living as if God's promises are already present. And that's what chapter 11 is all about. As it goes on, we just read a little part of it with these different people, these men and these women. It's faith with flesh and blood. Now, faith isn't just some idea. It's in action. It's lived. And that's what chapter 11 is to show us. That's why in verse 13 it says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. You see how they were living as if the promises of God were already here? They saw them. Faith gives us the ability to see this and welcome them into their present, even from a distance. F.F. Bruce is quite a known commentator on the Bible, and he's got a great one on Hebrews. And he has this line that I wanted to share with you because I thought it was so great. He says, faith, the faith shown by the Old Testament men and women, consisted simply in taking God at his word and directing their lives accordingly. That's it, isn't it? It's simply taking God at his word and letting that direct your life. Now, that's scary. Let's not pretend. That's scary, but it is actually very simple. We want to make it complicated. We want to make other ways of working around it, but it is very simple. That's why Noah built an ark. That's why Abraham left his home, his family. It's why Moses rejected Pharaoh and the palace. It's why Rahab was the only one to trust out of a whole city of people. It's taking God at his word and directing our lives accordingly. That's why this is the faith race. But for us to do that, we need the focus of faith. We can't do this ourselves. We don't look at chapter 11 and go, oh yeah, I'll be like them. No, we need the focus of faith. And that's what chapter 12, at the very beginning of chapter 12, so we're jumping there now, is really all about. Look with me at chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, what's that talking about? Well, I think the writer of Hebrews actually wants us to picture a stadium, a huge, massive stadium filled. Every chair is filled, including the members' stand. There's not a vacant seat there, and every single person is cheering. Now, imagine you are the one running in. Maybe this is the end of the marathon, those 42 point whatever Ks, and you're being cheered, but they're not cheering your name. Sorry about that, if that's what you were hoping for. They're not cheering your name. They are cheering, we finished because of Jesus. We kept going because of Jesus. We ran because of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. That's what they witness to, not us, to Jesus. In fact, chapter 11 is saying we were able to run and we were able to finish because we were looking. We were looking at Jesus, even if they didn't even know it. But we do. Peter Adam, in his really helpful commentary, which we have in the library here, he says this. In Hebrews, faith is not a special gift for a few heroes. And we can be really tempted to see that that's what chapter 11 is about. They're just some special heroes. It's great having Margaret with us, and she is special, but it's not like we can just say, oh, Margaret, she's out there. She's in another league to us. No. Faith like this is the only and acceptable and appropriate response for all of God's people. As we hear the chanting, the cheering, look to Jesus. So that's why he says, so let us run with perseverance to make the race marked out for us. We have a race. We need to keep going. But to be able to do that, we've got to get rid of the weight. Anything that will weigh us down. You don't see a marathon runner carrying a chair. Even a fold-out one. It just isn't good. You're not going to see it. Everything is gotten rid of to be able to run that kind of distance. And Hebrews, as we know, is lovingly concerned for anyone who might drift or get distracted. And so it gives us two ways to run with perseverance, to get to that finish line and beyond. First one, let us throw off everything that hinders. Now, what is that? It's not going to be sin, because that's what he talks about next. So what is it that could hinder us? Well, it could be anything, but I think particularly what we need to understand is it can be good things, and God has given us many good things. But they can be things that hinder us from running the race, to weigh us down. The question we need to ask ourselves is, what's getting in the way of me loving God and others? What's getting in the way of my purity, my courage, my patience? What's getting in the way of me being alive with Christ in every part of my life? Like I said, it can be good things. For me, one of the things I know I'm really prone to that can hinder me is exercise, being active. I love it. Surfing, running, all sorts of things. And they can be good things. It's good for my body. But if I'm not careful, it will take up too much time away. It'll be a hindrance. But it'll also take my heart. It'll become a good thing, becomes a God thing, like an idol. So we've got to look at that and say, well, let's throw off everything that hinders me from being alive with Christ. The second thing we need to do is to throw off the sin that so easily entangles. And I think we get that. We know that areas of our life where we're rejecting and rebelling against God, of course they're going to trip us up. They're going to trap us. They're going to stop us from running. They're going to stop us maybe from finishing. We've got to throw these things off. There's a cafe just on the corner here. And it has a chalkboard outside that the locals, you might have seen it. And it has this on the top, and you can see it now, before I die. And people can fill in what it is that they want to do. Our society gets so concerned and obsessed with, what do I do? What can I have before I die? When we run the faith race, when we have the focus of our faith is not what do I get, what do I hold on to before I die, but actually after I die. That's what I'm looking to. That's where Jesus is leading me to, after I die. That is to be our focus. So we get rid of these things rather than hold on to them. And to do that, well, we need to do that in order to free us up so that we can run looking to Jesus. And this is what chapter 12, verse 2 says. You know, we've got the cheering crowd. We've got the throwing off of things. We've got this race that we're running. How do we do it? Verse 2, oh, it's fixing our eyes on Jesus. And the writer deliberately uses the word fixing. It's not just glancing. Occasionally just, oh, it's there. No, it's fixing our eyes on Jesus, right? Did you notice that Jesus wasn't in the cloud of witnesses? There's a list of great people. Because no, he's not just another person of faith. He is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. He's the pioneer because he blazed the trail. He began it, if you like. He's the one who started the start line of those who would have faith in him. And he is this great example as he blazed that trail, the pioneer of how to live a faithful life. And it's wonderful for us to see that in the Gospels, in the accounts of his life. But he is also the perfecter of our faith. Not only did he make the way because of his unflinching, unbroken faithfulness to God, his sinless life, that's not all he did. But actually, as we fix our eyes on his love, forgiveness, and grace, then he will empower us to be able to do that. That's what's being offered here. It's not like, oh, okay, Jesus, yeah, he was pretty awesome. I suppose I've got to have a crack at that. No. Yes, he isn't a great example, but he is the one who will empower us. That's what chapter 12 wants us to see, particularly when we start getting to verses 2 and 3. Have a look with it. It says there, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy, not then, but the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How did Jesus keep going? Well, it wasn't because everything was cruisy. It was for the joy ahead when he was at home with his Father in heaven. And what the writer's saying here is we too, if we fix our eyes on Jesus, we too can endure. We can endure carrying our cross, whatever that is, no matter what it is, by following Jesus and looking to the joy that is set before us. The joy of being with Jesus perfectly in heaven. Consider him, we're told in verse 3. Consider him. Fix our eyes. Think on him who endured such opposition from sinners. so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So let's do that. Let's just take a moment and think about Jesus in one of his greatest moments on the cross, suffering, dying, but not waiting till it was over to serve. While he was hanging there, what did he do? He provided a new son for his mother so that she would be cared for. He forgave a criminal on the cross next to him so he could have eternal life. He revealed his glory to the centurion at the foot of the cross so that that centurion who was in charge of killing him could say, surely this man was the Son of God. Jesus didn't say, guys, I'm a bit busy right now and I'm pretty uncomfortable. I'll just wait till I'm done and then... No. So what this is promising us is, you and me, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, he will empower us. He will empower us when we are feeling like, I am too tired and there are too few of us serving here at church. Or I feel like, I'm just overwhelmed. I'll serve when the struggles are over, when I get to the other side. Look to Jesus. That is the promise. And you won't lose heart and you won't grow weary. We do, don't we? Too often Christians aren't prepared for these moments and we give in to those feelings because we're looking at the circumstances. We're looking at people. But the promise here is look to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And you won't. You won't grow weary and lose heart. Doesn't mean it won't be tiring. It just means you won't give up. You'll be able to keep running to that finish line. And that's why we can't leave this as just a nice idea. God is asking, how are you running the race? How are you today running the race? I mean, after all, it'd be crazy to turn up to run to a marathon and not do any training or any planning, wouldn't you? I remember on a TV show, a guy did that because he was dead. And at the end of the marathon, he was catching a train home and he just couldn't move. And so he was mugged. You wouldn't do it. But we think nothing of planning and thinking about organising a holiday or a work promotion or change or a home improvement or a wedding or a birthday. Or we'll put in the time, we'll plan it, we'll invest money in it. That's what we need to be doing as we run this race. And so I'm suggesting two things to us today. The first one is about obeying Jesus and the second one is that sense of personal encouragement to keep going. So, number one, this week, set aside time. Set aside a good chunk of time. In fact, even do it today so that the week doesn't take you away from it. Set aside a chunk of time to make your plans. How? How are you going to run this race? To really think about what are the hindrances. This could save your life. It certainly will mean that you have greater blessings in your life and possibly to your family and your friends. What are the hindrances? What's getting in the way of you loving God and others? Your purity, your courage, your patience. What's getting in the road of being alive with Christ? And think that through. How will you throw that off? But also to ask the Holy Spirit to convict you of your sin. The sin that's trapping you up and tying you up. Pray about that and make a plan to fight it. It's not going away. But then I want to encourage you, share your plan with someone. Don't just keep it to yourself. Share it with someone close to you. Share it with your seed group in our growth groups, that two or three other people, so that they can be praying for you, so that they can be helping support you and be accountable and helpful in that way. Don't do it alone. So first thing, invest time this week in thinking about how you're running your race. What are the hindrances? What are the sins? The second thing is to recognize that we can't fix our eyes on Jesus just on Sundays. and maybe even we'll chuck in a growth group as well, and expect to be running. Do you remember all those voices? 10,000 a day maybe, saying, focus on me, look at me. No, we need to be doing this every day so that we're ready for those key moments. Too often, Christians aren't ready for those really difficult moments. I find it so hard to be focused on Jesus then. And that's not a great time to start when it's really tough and hard. But if you've been training, then that will be enabling you to be ready for those moments, whether they be difficult or even good. So I've been thinking this week, how do I fix my eyes on Jesus? And in fact, I shared with a couple of people this week, I read a book, a Christian book on the weekend, and it was talking about a missionary from the 1930s. And he thought, I need to be thinking about Christ more. And so he decided that for 1 second of every minute, he would think about Christ. 1 second every minute. Oh, 1,440 times a day. Hey, that adds up. I was like, how do you do that? How do you get anything done? But 1930s, he doesn't even have a smartwatch. How do you get reminded about that? I don't know how he did it, but it got me thinking. And I think God used that to help me to start thinking, I can do 1 second every hour. And I need it. You might think it's really easy to think of Jesus when you're a minister. It's not. It's really easy actually to just get caught up doing one meeting after another or go to this thing, do that thing, prepare that. And not actually just stop and be with Christ. And so this week, I put out a bunch of alarms every hour of the day. And man, I've got to tell you, it's really powerful. It's really helpful. It doesn't have to become a big thing. It's just, oh yeah, Christ. Fix my eyes on him in that moment. And this week, man, it sustained me in some of the difficult moments that I've had this week. And they've been there. But it's also meant that the joy was all the deeper in the good moments because I was focused on Christ. Jesus is a better focus for your life and for my life. So let's trust him to lead us as we look only to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that faith isn't blind. It's not about taking a brain out, but actually it's something that we can have confidence, assurance in because of Jesus. And so we pray that you'd give us the faith to run this race. And that comes as we focus or fix our eyes on Jesus. And I pray that you'd be helping each one of us this week to do that. That this wouldn't just be a nice idea that we leave from here and do nothing about, but we would make plans. We would look at our life to throw off what hinders and what trips us and tangles us, so that we are then free to focus on Jesus. Help us to practice and train at fixing our eyes on him every day. Lord, we can't do this ourselves, and so we pray that you'd be powerfully at work and that we'd be able to encourage and support one another as we seek to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.